This is the CEO Series with Kara Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. The CEO Series takes you inside our capstone MBA class at McGill. Each week, we sit down with some of Canada, indeed the world's top leaders, to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Mohamed Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, former international president of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders our McGill MBAs are exposed to. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Fabienne Colas, actress, filmmaker, producer, and entrepreneur, and president and founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Thanks, Fabienne, for joining us today.
Thank you, Carl, for having me. This is quite an honor to be on the show.
Tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born and raised in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and had a very particular childhood. When you're born in Haiti and you've been raised in a country like Haiti, you're forced to grow up faster than anybody else in the world. Well, there's a lot of people in the world. So, and that is serving me today.
So when did you move to Montreal? What brought you to our fair city?
I was a very popular and successful actress in my country. I was the most popular actress in my country. And I was also, I was a model, an actress, and I became Miss Haiti. Well, that was 40 pounds ago. And I was so successful and so young at the same time that I started to feel the imposter syndrome. Because everything was so easy for me at that time that I did not feel I was deserving that success. So that's why I definitely wanted to just go away somewhere bigger, start from scratch somehow. And I promised myself, if I get successful in a new country, in a new environment, somewhere where nobody knows me, then I will feel deserving of that success. So I wanted to work hard at something and feel like I earned, you know, every success of it. But I never asked the universe to make it that hard on me. So we have to be careful what we put out there.
How old were you when you moved to Montreal approximately?
I was 23, 24.
Everywhere you go, they know who you are. You've had great success. And at 24, you walk away from it. Like, I think most of us are shaking our heads a bit and going, is she mad? That is very impressive you did that. As a sidebar, we talk about acting. You got to act like a CEO. So is there anything that acting can teach leaders? Is there anything that we should act like an actor or an actress in order to be effective leader?
Oh, wow. Acting has helped me a lot in what I do every day today, because I'm working more in the film industry or, you know, the entertainment industry and producing films and content. But for people that are not into the film industry or the artistic industry, I think an acting class would help a lot, because that helps you control your body language. That helps you pace yourself when you talk. That helps you control the way you breathe and then the way you express yourself and then touch the other person and react accordingly and those kind of stuff. So I think it has helped me in everything that I do, especially in the communication side of things, to connect better. Because in acting, you know your lines. The person, the other actor in front of you knows his or her lines. But it's not about telling your lines or saying your lines. It's about hearing how he's saying his own lines and reacting to that with your lines. So that means an actor would react differently based on what the actor in front of her or him is saying. And, you know, so you react to that. Acting is reacting. So that helps a lot in that front. But that doesn't take away, you know, the fact that you have to, you know, to be a leader, it's way more complex than that.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Fabienne Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. This is probably a silly question, but are you an extrovert or introvert?
I think I'm an extrovert. I believe so.
Your energy, your enthusiasm, all it just strikes me is that's natural. Coming up to Montreal, did you speak English a fair bit already, or was it mainly French?
I had learned English in Haiti, because in Haiti, the education system, especially because I was in a private school my whole life, private Catholic school. So at that school, we were fortunate because the nuns there, they wanted us to be exposed to English and Spanish at a very early age. And in the education system in Haiti, English and Spanish are mandatory in secondary school, in high school. So we had no choice then to study English and Spanish. So I was fluent in English and Spanish and French and Creole when I was in Haiti. And English was for me, how can I put that? It was something I really wanted to master at some point, because I knew that one day I would go to North America. I didn't know it was Canada or the United States, but I knew I had to know to speak English. So I paid a lot of attention in my English classes.
I can imagine, you know, if I came to Montreal and given up my successful career in Haiti, at a certain point I go, oh, that was a mistake. Did you ever feel that you should go back to Haiti? Or did you manage to get through that?
I first visited Quebec in 2000. I had some friends at Chicoutimi, and they were not at all Haitian. And they gave me, because I was on my way to Hollywood, and they said, why don't you make a stop in Montreal and then, you know, test the water and in a smaller environment than Hollywood, that is so, you know, intimidating. And that would be a smoother transition for you before going to Hollywood. So I said, oh, good. Perfect. I was 21 at the time, and I'm like, why not? So every idea was a good idea. And so I went back to Haiti, did my paperwork, and I came here back as a landed immigrant very quickly. But I was not, I was going back and forth because people kept calling me for roles, for characters, for films. So I was going back and forth and back and forth, like 6 months here, 6 months there. And in 2003, I said, no. I have to turn the page and decide to establish myself somewhere. And that's why I said I came here in 2003, because before I was not really established. And ever since, I made a decision that this is where my life will be. And that decision helped me never turn back and say, you know, oh, maybe I should go back. However, of course, I remember my country. Of course, I'd love to go back, you know, more often, but I never regretted that decision to establish myself here because I chose Montreal.
We're speaking today with Fabian Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Was there a big break? Was there a moment when you got a, you know, you did something where you go, I'm now established as a bit of a vedette?
Let me take a step back, Carl, if I may, to say that when I came here in 2003, I had that vision that I would conquer America, and I'm going to conquer America in Canada. And here is this beautiful metropolis, and oh, everybody looks, you know, like a lot of diversity, people of all color and, you know, ethnic backgrounds and origin, and with all kinds of accents. And oh my God, this is the beautiful, the most amazing city ever. That's where I wanted to be. And when I turned on TV and I saw that everybody looked the same, everybody was white. But what I noticed is everybody was white, but at the same time, everybody had the same accent. And I'm like, okay, I'm not white and I don't have that Quebec accent. So how am I going to be cast in any film or any soap opera? So I said two things. Either I'm going to be the only Black person, you know, actress in this city, and everybody would want to cast me, or they would be like, we don't have any role for somebody that looks like you. Unfortunately, that was the latter, because I was considered as a Black woman immigrant with an accent, and a beautiful one at the time, especially. And so I came here and nobody knew what to do with me, and I couldn't get auditions really. I was offered some small roles, sometime non-talking, non-speaking roles and stuff. And I couldn't believe it, because I left a country where I was a lead and I had, you know, I had just won an award and everything else. And that was very humble. It was a humble time for me.
We're speaking with Fabian Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Coming up, we'll discuss her successful film festivals and where they came from. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series.
You're You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Fabian Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Fabian, when you first started out in Quebec, you weren't able to get any major roles because the industry wasn't ready for you. What did you do in response to that?
So that's when I understood that we had to change that. So we decided we're going to get some films from Haiti to come here. So we're going to screen them. People will discover Haitian cinema. But at the same time, somebody somewhere will say, oh my God, that young lady, she can act. Well, let's give her a break. And unfortunately, no festival would take those films. So I was there with no auditions, no working, you know, no work, no opportunities. I was not even offered an opportunity to prove whether I was good or bad. I just was not heard and seen because of just my skin color. I did not have to talk or to say, hey, hear me out. It was just like, we have nothing for you. So I was desperate. I was sad. I was hopeless. And I was frustrated. And it's out of this frustration that I'm going to have my big break, which is to recreate the Fabian Colas Foundation in Montreal. It's a not-for-profit organization dedicated to fostering diversity in the arts, building a bridge through the arts, and so that actors that look like me can get a chance to be seen, to be heard, to be working, to have equal chances, to screen their films or to perform. We started to create festivals. And the first one was the Montreal International Black Film Festival. And fast forward 16 years, it became a big movement. And today we are doing 9 festivals all over the world, including Brazil, Haiti, New York City, Montreal, Toronto, Halifax. So I believe sometime life will kick you in the butt for a reason. And you need to be listening. Oprah Winfrey said she doesn't believe in failure because failure is the universe trying to shift your life in a different direction. And I totally believe in that because I believe my calling, today I can say that in retrospect, my true calling was to change the industry, to help bring solutions, to gather people together. And that's what I'm doing every day. And that's why I'm waking up earlier every morning, because I can see the impact. I can see when you are dedicated and passionate and persistent, miracle can happen. And today, I cannot believe, Carl, that the very people I was constantly lobbying and saying that things need to change, today I'm sitting in their committee and trying to help make new laws and new programs for Telefilm Canada and then Canada Media Fund and other public sector grant donors in the country. So I'm very honored, humbled, proud, but at the same time, what the lesson is, don't be discouraged. Keep going when it feels right to you in your heart. Keep going at it. And the people that was fighting you before, I'm not saying Telefilm Canada was fighting me, not at all, but they were part of the industry that I wanted to change. But the people that didn't think it would work or whatever, at some point, if you continue, things will work out for you and people will join you and they will be working with you.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Fabian Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals.
Is it better for Black actors today in Canada, in Quebec, than it was 20 years ago? Has it actually changed?
I think today, thanks to the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement, things have drastically changed in the fact that everybody knows we're lacking diversity in Quebec's films, TV series, TV, media, and not just Quebec, Canada. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that we're worse than the film industry in the United States. Everybody knows that. Everybody has known that before I even came here. And when I came in 2003 and then I started to talk about diversity, we need diversity, we need inclusion of, you know, people of color, and diversity was not trending. there was no such thing as diversity and inclusion at the time. And people were looking at me as this tall girl that is coming from elsewhere, that is kind of annoying talking about diversity all the time. And I was like a pit bull. I would not drop it. I mean, I would just keep going until it's done. And so people knew at the time. The difference is that now they have they still have the awareness that is stronger, but they understand the emergency, the urgency of the matter. They really can see how drastically society has evolved, because during the summer, something that was striking me was that I was at one of the marches that we had for an anti-racist march. And I was looking everywhere. And next to me was a white person. Next to me was a Latino person, an Asian person, an Arabic person, and indigenous person. It was people, it was humanity marching with Black people. It was everybody. It was society marching with us. And that was the same thing all over the place, all over the world. So I think the gatekeepers today are saying that it's not just the Black people saying, hey, you know, we're discriminated against and then we are victim of systemic barriers. It's also society that is saying enough is enough. We're all the same. I mean, we're just part of the same society. We're brothers and sisters. I may be darker than you, but we all have blood in our, you know, in our veins. I mean, we all need love and we all need, you know, to eat, and we have the same needs. And my husband is white. So I think today the difference is that people are putting money behind their efforts. They are opening the doors really to say, oh my God, we've been messing up for so long. I mean, we've messed up. Now, how do we make it right? And I'm so happy to be sitting on so many committees to help be part of the solution, to help people see how they can make change faster. And it's a great thing happening now. So we are not closer to the goal than we were 20 years ago, but things are really, for the first time since 20 years ago, I see things really kind of on the right track to move forward. I don't believe in anybody saying, I stand with Black Lives Matter. I don't believe anybody saying that. I want to see actions. So if you stand with Black Lives Matter, great. Now, what are you going to do about it? In your school, in your neighborhood, in your organizations, in your private corporation, in your boards, you know, in everything. And anybody can do something. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be something like, you have this great platform, this amazing, huge platform call. You decided to have somebody like me on that. You could have chosen, you know, another human being that is fantastic, or yes, don't believe I think I'm that fantastic, but you could have chosen anybody else, but you chosen inclusion. Maybe it was not a conscious decision. Maybe you just say, oh, Fabian is doing amazing things that are touching you, and then you wanted to give me this platform, and I'm very happy about that. But what I mean is, that's also a choice. So what I say to people is, you know, diversity is all over the place. Even in that class, I see diversity. But inclusion is really a decision. It's a choice. That's the choice we have today to say, okay, we need to do a panel. Who are we going to put there? Oh, it doesn't make sense. We all look alike. We need to put some diversity, because diversity, real diversity, I'm not talking about diversity that is not diverse. I'm talking about real diversity of people of color. That helps us be more creative, and creativity triggers innovation. And that triggers when you have innovation, you know, that propels your organizations. So diversity is not something that is nice to do. It's something that will enrich whatever you're doing. In our organizations, which is a Black organizations, we have non-Black people too on our board, on our team, because that's diversity as well, you know?
We're speaking with Fabian Coles, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Up next, we'll be talking about the impact of the current pandemic on her festivals and live events in general, an important part of our economy here in Montreal. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series.
This is the CEO Series with Cara Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Fabian Colles, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Diversity, you're saying, is actually a strength that gets you to better business results. So diversity is gender, it's race. It may also be the accountant versus someone who's in marketing versus other function as well. You see diversity, we see it in gender and race for sure. What other forms of diversity come to your mind?
You're right, Carl. Diversity can be anything. It can be tall people versus short people. It can be all kinds of stuff. However, I believe it can be dangerous to extend it that much in the context of today's society. Mm-hmm. Because we've never had a problem of, diversity of who is an accountant or who's a marketing person or anything else. Okay. We've had a problem of exclusion of people of color, for example. We've had a problem of women. We've had a problem of LGBTQ people. We've had a problem of people with disabilities. And I believe we need to focus, because if we don't, you know the power of focus. If we don't focus and we want to target everything all over the place, I mean, at the end of the day, what have you done? How do you measure your impact? So I recommend everybody to start somewhere and to really go where it really matters and where it's more important and more crucial right now in our society. And that's we have a crucial lack of inclusion of people of color. A few years back, it was women. Still women in some places. But what happened is, because people making these decisions did not have in mind cross-sectionality, what did they do? They put a bunch of women, and one morning, years later, they discovered, oh my God, all these women look the same. They look the same. What have we done? So now they're trying to be like, okay, we need women of color as well. We need women of color. What I say is, and some other times, we're going to have a group saying, okay, we need some young people. We need some young people in the mix. We need some young people. What do? They have a bunch of young people, but they forgot, let's add women. And let's also add people of color. And let's also add LGBTQ. And let's also add indigenous people. At the same time, we're doing youth, because they exist too, you know, in the age of, 18 to 35, you know? So I advocate also for cross-sectionality, so that we make sure that we bring all these people together at the same time. And then after that, of course, we can be mindful of what about not having, 10 people in that group that are all accountants.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Fabian Colles, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Fabian, has COVID-19 affected the festivals, or how has it?
Yes, COVID-19 has affected all we do. One day in March, we heard that everything was shut down, and the first people to be affected were the people in the cultural industry, because we were told not to gather anymore. And then we're doing festivals. Festivals are all about gathering, all about meeting people and, hugging people and then shaking mm-hmm. hands and talking and eating together and dancing and all those kind of things. Thank God we had just finished all the Toronto Black Film Festival, Fade to Black Festival in Montreal, and Halifax Black Film Festival in February. So that has been done. And then now, how are we gonna do our festivals during the summer and the fall? Because Haïtien Folie Festival was coming up in Montreal, and we had the Montreal Black Film Festival in the fall. And then we had the Brazil, Salvador de Bahia Black Film Festival at the end of the year. So yes, it was a chaotic thing for us. Now our team was very hopeful and very innovative and creative, I would say. And they found a way to build these festivals virtually so we could still have them. Now, let me just say, in our case, doing a festival is not just about all the fla-fla, the beautiful stuff and the celebration only. Yes, we're sharing great music and then great programming and then great food and what have you, and it's good vibration, and then we're together. It's a great social gathering, and we foster togetherness. But there's something deeper. We allow some very underserved and marginalized artists, Black artists, to work, to find a platform, to find a stage, to get exposed to a new market, to other festival goers. And our festival goers are from all ethnic backgrounds. So if we were not doing these festivals during the summer or the fall, what would happen to all these artists? So because of that, we found a way to go online, and then all of them got paid, all of them got supported regardless. And most of our partners stuck by our side. They stayed with us. So that saved us. And so we've made it. We've done it. And we're very happy to have done it.
We're speaking today with Fabian Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. When do you think we'll be able to have that sense of community that we get from live events back? Will we ever?
Oh, these two shall pass, Carl. Definitely one day we will be back, you know, celebrating, chanting together, I'm sure. I don't know when, though. It may take a year or two, but I believe we will get back to normal. And one day, you know, the next generation won't believe what happened to us. They will be like, really? That really happened? Yes, it did happen. But I'm very hopeful for the future. But in the meantime, we have to find other solutions. For example, that has turned all our ways of working upside down. For example, I really did not like remote work at all, because I wanted everybody to be at the office. And today I'm such an advocate for remote work, because we got so much done faster. It's easier for everybody. They can take care of the house at the same time. They take care of work and they take care of the family and everything else, especially for women that have so much to do. Because we are the unfortunate ones in this, we are more penalized than you guys. I'm talking about especially women that have kids and a family. So we had to be very understanding of that as well. Before, it was from 9 to 5. Mostly, and then now we have to adapt. That's what a leader does. So we have to say, hey, if you can't really be there from 9 to 5 because, you know, kids are running around and those kind of stuff, no problem. You can finish later on. You know, it doesn't have to be from 9 to 5. So we have to be flexible. And I think at some point we're getting more human.
You mentioned the word leader. What is a leader? And you were, recently... put forward as one of the top 100 most powerful women in Canada. So what is a leader? What is a leader in your mind? And has what you think about it evolved in the last 20 years?
I can talk about my own experience. When I started 20 years ago, almost, when we started with everything we were doing, I thought a leader was like the boss, you know, it's like, I'm the boss, and then, you know, and then this is how I say, because when I started, I did not have experience yet. You know, I was building the plane while flying it. So I made lots of mistakes. And it's good to make mistakes as long as you learn from them and you become better and you don't make them twice. For me, the idea I had of a leader before, 20 years back, is not the idea I have of a leader today. 20 years back, I thought a leader is the boss, and then what that boss says goes, and this is it. And, you know, it's a very hierarchy kind of styles and those kind of stuff. I learned, thank God, very quickly that that's not at all what a leader is. A leader is somebody that is there for the team, so that whatever the team needs to complete the race, to complete the marathon, you're there to give them so they can do a very good job.
We're speaking with Fabian Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Up next, we'll talk to her about work-life integration. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Fabian Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Let me ask, it might be a very silly question. Is Black culture somewhat different in Montreal, Toronto, and the U.S.?
That's a great question. And I don't like to say Black culture or the Black community. I like to say the Black communities, because it wouldn't sound great to say the white community. There's no such thing, because I think French people are very different, and it has nothing to do with Russian people, has nothing to do with Romanian people, has nothing to do with Australian people. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's really very diverse depending on where you live and what was your history, your background, what happened with your country, the story there. For example, Caribbean people have been... they were brought and bought from Africa to the Caribbean, which is my case. Well, not me, but my ancestors. So when we're talking about that, somebody from Africa maybe doesn't really relate, because they have not been that kind of slaves or that slave. They don't know about slavery the way we do in the Caribbean. So sometimes we can have more in common with people that don't look the same, but we have had similar situation in our history. So let's say people from the Caribbean, from Canada, and from the US, we share that history. We share that slavery past. What I mean by that is, I think we can relate on some historic facts. We can relate on so many things, but we're not all the same. We don't listen. We don't do music the same way. We don't cook the same way necessarily. We don't dance the same way. We don't speak the same languages necessarily. So it's a very diverse. It's a very diverse group of people, you know. So because of all the segregation and racism today, we are referred to the Black group or Black people and then the Blacks or whatever. But yes, we're united in that suffering, because let's face it, if I'm outside and then somebody's looking through the window, they will not say, oh, look at that Haitian girl there. They would be like, that Black woman. They don't care where I'm from. So we share that look, that the way people see us. But if you go deeper, you go under the layers, you will see, oh, you know, it's very diverse. So that's the best way I could explain it.
I'm joined by Yuan, one of my MBA students, who has a question for Fabian.
Earlier, you mentioned that your best asset sometimes is your team. So you need to have people that are diverse around you that give you the best ideas and the insights, you know, into other communities, for instance. When you're hiring, let's say, for one of the festivals that you have, is there a way that you go about to hire diversity? Because I think that a lot of us are, you know, people that we hang out with, or just like, you know, it's easier to go for someone that who looks like us or thinks like us. So how do you actually get yourself to surround yourself with people who are different?
Oh my God, what a great question. It's bizarre, because I was saying that to our team the other day. And in some departments, we have more non-Black people than Black people. And they say, no. The next hire that we're going to do, it's going to be somebody that is Black. And I'm like, how did we get there? How did we get more non-Black people in that department? It's because in our case, that is very particular. In Montreal, I'm not talking about Toronto is completely different. Toronto, I think we have more Black people. But in Montreal, we have a lot of non-Black people. And mostly it's because they come to us. And I love that, because they don't believe, oh, it's a Black organization, Black-led organization, we're not going to apply. They apply massively. And we don't find a lot of Black people applying. So as I was saying, inclusion is a choice. So we need to go out there and make sure we let them know that, hey, we're hiring, and then we're looking for people of, you know, Black people and non-Black people and everybody, so that we can have a big pool of talent. But when we decide that in this position, we're lacking, let's say, at some point, I think we were saying, hey, we have one Asian person working for us in Montreal and one Asian person working in Toronto. That's the two Asian we have. I mean, we need more Asian people, you know, people from Asia or South Asia. This is what's going on. So we know that when we will be hiring, we will be mindful to promote in that community, to make sure that people, I don't know, could be the Chamber of Commerce from those kind of communities, could be organizations to spread the word, you know? So those are ways you can make sure you spread the word. But no, we don't hire people just because we went hang out with them. We ask for references, but we don't like this kind of, okay, because we know you live. No, because that is killing the spirit, because we all think alike, you know? And it's very important to go after what other people are thinking, what's out there. And it's so refreshing. And then one thing I would like to say too, that I wanted to say before is, when you brainstorm in your environment, can be in your groups, can be in your work or whatever, at work, if you don't have that diverse team yet, you can invite some people from outside to say, hey, we're having a brainstorming session with the team. Would you join us? Because we're going to talk about this thing. We would like to know what you think and everything else. And then you bring people, not just gender, but also people of color, and also, you know, older people, younger people. And then you bring that, you would be astonished to see the beauty, the richness of what you're going to get. Because sometimes they will make you see things that your team would never have seen. Because after a few time, like after a while, your team become immune. So like we talk the same, we think the same, we are the same, basically. So that's good to have new blood all the time. So we're very mindful about that.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Fabian Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. Fabian, how do you recharge after a long day?
A glass of wine can go a long way.
How have you stayed productive working from home? What are your couple of tips how to be a good Zoomer?
Oh, wow. I tend to have meetings that go straight to the point. I tend to also have shorter meetings, like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, you know, to avoid the 1 hour all the time, because it's not necessarily necessary. And I noticed when you give yourself 30 minutes or 45 minutes instead of an hour or 2 hours for a meeting, some of them, they need 2 hours or 1 hour, but most of the time, 30 minutes, you go boom, 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 boom. It's very productive. Let's go. Let's do it. And then we'll complete by email, you know? So that is one thing that has helped me a lot in preparing in advance. And the fact that I don't have to drive, I don't have to go from place A to place B. I don't have to, that saves so much time. So I don't know if I'll ever go to the office again. I mean, seriously, I miss the interaction with my colleagues, like, with the team physically, and I miss my festival goers and the artists and everything else. But I think the part of working from home gives us so much, there's more upside than downside, I think.
We're speaking today with Fabian Colas, founder of the Montreal, Toronto, and Halifax Black Film Festivals. How do you keep in good shape?
I'm not a big gym fan. I prefer to dance. I like to dance salsa. I just like to dance. I dance. And then when I'm home, I just would put like some reggaeton or some Haitian songs and then just dance and then put the volume up. That's when my husband is not home. And then, you know, and then dance my way up. And it's very good. I'm having a good time. It's good for my spirit. It's good for my body, good for everything. And I recharge and then I'm ready for the next meeting.
Last question. What Netflix series are you and your husband watching?
We just finished Queen of the South. We finished Ozark. We finished Breaking Bad. And we finished Better Call Saul. And we finished a documentary series called Fear City. It's about the mafia in New York City and how they got to them. Yeah, and then there's a series I'm going to recommend to everybody. Ava DuVernay did an amazing series. It's very tough. An amazing series. It's not a documentary. It's fiction called When They See Us.
This is the CEO Series. Fabian, thank you for joining us today. The show was produced by Marie LeBrosse. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. A la prochaine.
For more info and full interviews, go to cjad.com now.